Thank you very much. Nick on receivers for the Browns.
Everything's relative to price. I like the name, Mike Evans. I don't know that he fits what you need. Because and Jerry Jeudy's an interesting name because he's not half the production that Mike Evans is, but he's got elite speed. And I think sometimes we look and say, well, where's Deshaun's Stephon Diggs? Where's Deshaun's Justin Jefferson? Where's Deshaun's A.J. Brown? Stephon Diggs cost a first-round pick and more. A.J. Brown cost the pick that became Treylon Burks in, I think, the 19th pick in the NFL draft. I think the problem is, and I think the problem the Browns are going to find is, if it comes down to spending money on a receiver, I think the Browns can swim in those waters. If it comes down to giving up a 2025 first-round pick, I think it's something that they should really consider. The problem is they're going to have to do both. Or give up the second-rounder this year and maybe the second-rounder next year. That's a lot for a team whose primary need really begins on the defensive line. I think elite wide receiver is the last thing you add to the team after you've already found your defensive tackles, your defensive ends, your safeties, your linebackers, your offensive line. When everything's secured, when you've got your franchise quarterback, that's when you need to add an elite receiver.
I just disagree. I think too many people are treating Deshaun Watson like Deshaun Watson is the old Deshaun Watson. Old Deshaun Watson was supposed to take old nobody receivers and make them superstars. That's what he did when DeAndre Hopkins wasn't there. He had his best season, 4,800 yards, 30-plus touchdowns, fewer than 10 interceptions. That's what he does. Crab cakes in football, that's what Maryland does. Deshaun Watson without great wide receivers, that's what he does. He makes them great. But after 700 days off, I don't feel like Deshaun Watson qualifies under that same category again. 700 days did something to him. There aren't many quarterbacks in today's NFL that can do it with nobodies. The gap between really good wide receiver and really good cornerback, it's real now. It wasn't as big even 5 years ago. There's no such thing as a lockdown corner that can shut down the game's very best wide receiver. Revis Island is now a landfill. Receivers eat now. They just do. Investing on that side of the ball, it's the smart move. You bought Deshaun to make sure you could use him at a premium. Don't take the shiny new toy and put it away. Use them. And if the defense can't get it right with two $100 million players, how many defenses you know have two $100 million players? Denzel Ward's $100 millionaire. Myles Garrett is $125 millionaire. You got two $100 million players, and you got two seasons worth of draft picks that were spent a large majority on the defensive side of the ball. You got enough. Help out Deshaun. All right, we go to the morning show. Lima and Ken on a funeral fast pass.
If you have the funeral fast pass, you pay $50.
But just once is fine.
Charity of the choice. Yes. And you get in. Okay. You pay your respects real quick, and off you go.
And nobody could be annoyed if you're in line and you're getting skipped.
Funeral Fast Pass.
You sit there and say, oh, that's cool, the charity's
are
getting an extra
$50. Are you shamed, though? My fear is, though, are you shamed into paying the $50? Because you're standing in line for regular calling out.
So you think everybody then ends up paying for it, and then it defeats the whole purpose of it?
Mm-hmm.
And then the charity makes out, but nothing gets accomplished.
Oh, the charity makes out like crazy. Because... I mean, you might have a line for the fast pass line. Well, then all of a sudden you're paying $100 for the extra fast pass.
Well, you see that at the airport.
Yeah, but we're talking about TSA here. We're not talking about a funeral.
But there's also the clear or whatever it's
or,
called.
And the cream.
And the cream, yeah. The deer antler spray. So I
like the idea. There are flaws.
Many of the homes in town, many of them end in a vowel. Many owned by Canadian firms. Whatever it is, start thinking about it. Just,
hey, paisanos!
You know what? Just do some canvassing. Put some panels together.
But I still don't want people standing in the... We have to have an understanding that the people standing in the regular line, they're just... That's fine. They're standing in the regular line, and they're okay to come and pay their respects.
What about this? If it's closed casket, have two caskets on different sides. They don't know which one.
Oh, that's good.
But you still go up and you...
It's like Air Force One.
You just assume.
You just gave me an idea for my own calling hours. I want people to go up there. I'll give you... Listen. We get a sponsor involved. I'll give you $1,000. Which one is Ken in?
Oh, this is fun.
Well, which one is Ken in?
Absolutely. And then who gets to open it every time? And then they have to play music?
Whichever one of my sons is still crying. That's the one that has to open it up.
You dim the lights. I mean, you can make this a star-studded event.
Yeah, good luck hearing a segment like this on Baskin and Phelps.
The ending. Okay, so here we go. I feel like if you did it like a magician and you had... You gotta alternate caskets. So Ken would be in one casket, and then his son would have to lift it up, and then you'd be like, oh, we got the right guy. Great, congratulations. You get to say your goodbyes. And then you'd have to have like a shoot or something, and each turn, and this is it would take entirely too long. This is the whole, we're defeating the purpose here. But then you'd have to be able to switch him from one to the other, and then you make it a true guessing game. That's where it becomes fun. If not, then everybody knows that Ken's just in casket one, and then casket one's line gets filled up, while casket two's line becomes the line for the hors d'oeuvres. You know what I mean? Like, there's flaws in the plan. The fast pass, and what I find interesting about it, is... We really need to not make funerals a have and a have not situation. Am I right? Like, you really need to, everywhere in life we have it, you're in the haves or the have nots. I feel like we need to, we can't go, that's a bridge too far. We can't keep going in that direction. We need to just settle in on it. It's sorry, Ken. Sorry, Anthony. It's a lousy idea. The funeral fast pass will never work. It'll make the poor people feel too bad. It'll make the rich people feel too powerful. We don't need that dynamic at a funeral. Wait in the line. How long is a funeral line anyway, by the way? I haven't been to many in my life. I went to my father's, obviously. I haven't been to many in life, though, and I don't remember the lines being that crazy out the door. Do I just not know really popular people? Is that the idea here? They were talking about celebrity funerals earlier, and Ken was talking about the one that he went to where it was just a really long, long line. I was like, I've never been to a person that is quote-unquote famous's funeral. I don't think I have much of an interest either. And if someone like Ken were to pass, Ken is Cleveland famous, I'd have to go to that funeral. Maybe I don't, though. Maybe I don't. Sorry, I don't go to funerals. They're not for me. I just don't go to funerals. Sorry, Ken. Ken and Anthony, we stay with the morning show on JB Bickerstaff.
If the bottom falls out and you like were to not do anything really good, is this the argument to keep your job at the end of the year? Because I think we're just looking at the facts here, guys. We're just looking at the honest, truthful facts. And I'm not calling for his job right now, but we're looking for the facts here. I brought this up yesterday with you off the air. Warriors, Dynasty, they had Mark Jackson, mm-hmm. Then they had Steve Kerr. Bucks, world champion, Jason Kidd, then Mike Budenholzer, who'd been through the wars with the Atlanta Hawks.
Won 60 games once.
Toronto, Dwayne Casey, respected coach. Blew him out, Nick Nurse.
Title.
And Cleveland, David Blatt, Ty Lue. And it might be that way
those
again.
Those were all...
Now, these are champions. These are championship teams. I could give you competing teams and maybe where they switched over their
coaches.
But
they were all playoff teams before that switch, too. It's not like they were... trying to rebuild, and then they brought in a guy.
But
and
you,
all of a sudden,
but you have
they haven't
to,
been a playoff team
But you
yet.
Can't help but speed up your clock when you trade everything for Donovan Mitchell and everybody in the world outside of Cleveland. I'm sorry, I'm not going to eliminate the elephant in the room and ignore it any longer when everybody outside of the city is telling you, you know where he really wants to go. So no, we cannot sit here and act like we have the next decade that we're just waiting around for. We don't. We just don't.
He's right, and you know what I loved was the different amount of names that he put out there that associated with NBA champions. It was like 4 or 5. That was really good. That was really good. It was one of those takes where I was like, you know what, Ken? I told you guys yesterday, I don't get jealous of people. I get jealous of sports takes when I wish I would have had them. That's how I know it's a good take. My line and how I know it's a good sports take is if when I hear it, I'm like, dang it, I wish I would have thought of that. He's right. He's right. It was sitting right there in front of all of us. I did not come up with that. Good job, Ken, because there are so many names of people and teams that they just traded one in for another, and it got them to win an NBA title, and it might be the same exact thing that J.B. Bickerstaff does here. Might be the same exact thing. Kobe Altman might just move Bickerstaff aside, and then there we go, and that can be our version of what happened in Milwaukee, what happened in Toronto. We've seen it. Nice job, Ken. Still might not go to your funeral, but nice job, Ken. Nick, on missing people's birthdays in the afternoon.
So I've been trying to remember how to be a human being again. And it was today that I felt like an absolute jabroni when I realized that I knew yesterday was not only Double A's birthday on the morning show, not only Keith's birthday on our show, but maybe my best, maybe one of my top five best friends in the entire world, Hacksaw, who I used to work with in Charlotte. And here's the thing, guys. I knew it. I saw it. And I said, you should say happy birthday to them. And then I didn't. So, Keith, happy birthday.
I'm not the biggest birthday guy, so I don't take offense to that at all.
I know, but I'm trying to be better, and I'm trying to build a great vibe on this show. So even though you're not, because the best part with you is, because you're not going to do it yourself, it is the embarrassing you with your own birthday thing. So this is some ways in my attempt to embarrass you and also embarrass myself. But yes. So happy birthday to Double A. Happy birthday to the swolest producer in the land, Keith. And my buddy Hackson. And maybe this will maybe the shame of this will lead me to being the person that I want to be in the world. We were just talking about the Cavaliers, though, at the deadline and whether the Cavs have to make a deal here.
I cut that horribly. My mistake. My apologies. I had it in there. I didn't save the right part of it. I clipped it off wrong. My bad. But the sentiment is right. I'm also like Nick, and at this point, I'm not a big birthday person anymore. I'm just not. I wish I was. I wish I was the way that I used to be. And like Hacksaw is a very good friend of Nick's. Like when Nick went to Charlotte, I'd see the post of the two of them hanging out all the time. Like that's his dude. That's his guy. You got to wish those people happy birthdays. Like I still, if you were in my wedding, I still send you a happy birthday. That I do, 100%. No question. If you're related to me, directly related to me, it's your birthday, I send you a happy birthday. That's it, though. That's the list. I really don't do much else. And I've never been someone to do it on Facebook. I've never been someone to do it over Twitter or anything like that. It's got a, you got to be a really good friend. You got to be a direct relative. But I also, in fairness to Nick, I also blew Keith's birthday as well. This might be like the third or fourth year in a row that I find out a day later that it's Keith's birthday and I just miss out completely on it. I told him happy birthday today because I heard this segment, but he just doesn't make a big deal out of, about his birthday. Now, Double A, I did know. Double A, I did know, and I also could have sent him a happy birthday, but I'm not in the happy birthday business. I don't do it. I like Double A. He's not one of my very good friends. I like him. We're friendly. He's a work acquaintance. If he needed help, I would be there for him. But no. No. You're okay, Nick. We need to, as we move away from Facebook, I think we need to move away from wishing everybody and anybody a happy birthday and then feeling guilty if we don't wish them a happy birthday. One of the worst things that Facebook did, Facebook was really good for making sure you didn't forget close friends' birthdays, but it was also really bad in that then so many people were like, well, you go on Facebook, you saw that it's my birthday. Why didn't you wish me a happy birthday? I don't need that in my life. All right, lastly, we go to the midday show. Jeff Phelps on flag football.
They're going to play a flag football game.
Mm-hmm.
I fear for this game. And I fear for this game for this reason. These guys are the best football players on the planet. Mm-hmm. It's a violent sport. They know how to tackle. They do not know how to pull flags off of people. Mm-hmm. And my guess is they don't know how to gear it down either.
I think that's a great point.
And I, like, if a wide receiver is running a pattern over the middle, you think he's going to not think that some linebacker or some safety is going to lay the wood to him? And I would think that it's going to be really difficult for some of the defenders to lay off.
Would it surprise you? Because I actually agree with you, and I've thought about that.
I think somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, so far, nobody's gotten hurt. I think it's really interesting, though. It kind of reminds me of the Neil Brennan bit from Three Mics. When he's talking about Ray Rice, he's like, football player did football thing at non-football time. I'm sorry, they're still humans, right? I know they're trained to do football things at all times. They're still humans, though. We can give them the benefit of the doubt that they have a brain, that they know what they're doing, that they can turn it off if they need to. I would assume they would know the difference between a football field and a flag football field. Maybe they don't, though. Maybe it really does. Since they were knee-high to a duck, they were taught tackle in that situation, and somebody does end up getting hurt. I'm going to doubt it, though. I'm going to imagine it's going to be a layup of sorts, and everyone's going to be taking it easy on everyone.